I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I appreciate this conference. I wasn't here last year. I think that was the first year I missed. And since you've had it, we had to have surgery on our back. And most of you know, and had a growth took out of our spinal column. And anyway, doing real good. And now, and can't kick as high as I one time did. And can't get that leg up, like that right leg. But anyway, I'm glad to be here. And I just praise the Lord for you folks that put this conference on. I thank God for Steve and all you preachers. And just remember us. And I know, don't tell me you're going to pray for me every time you pray, because you're lying. I'll pray for you when I think of you. And so if I don't think of you, you just don't get prayed for on my end. But I get down, I start praying, and things come into my mind and people, and I pray for them. And so I want you to do me the same way in our group over there. And I appreciate the songs and the preaching. There's been enough preaching here to save the world. And if you're here and you're lost, and you leave this conference lost, it's your own fault. The only reason why you would leave here lost is because you chose not to believe. And I appreciate Brother Freddie, and I'm glad he got saved, ain't you? Now, years ago, before I got saved, that would have tore me up. I couldn't handle that. You see, I went about 2 years, and I went to a preacher's house, my pastor's house, and knocked on his door every week. And my wife can tell you, I'm not kidding. And I'd say, I believe I'm lost. Talking about doubting your salvation, finally, I was out in the backyard one at the clothesline. Y'all not that modern. Y'all know what a clothesline is, don't you? Now, we still have clotheslines in our backyard over there in North Carolina. Don't have them now. We've got dryers. But used to, you put your clothes out and let the sun, you know, and all that. I was standing out there at the clothesline, and I looked up and I said, if this is religion, if this is Christianity, the hell with it. I don't want no part of it. Walked in the house, I had the license, you know, and all the documents, took it off the wall, put it in a drawer, and told June I'm not never preaching again, never going back to church again. And so there was one, my first cousin, there was one man, I thought, well, I might see what he had to say. I was looking for shirts. I was looking for somebody to tell me, yeah, you know, that I had confidence in. I went to this preacher's house every week, knocked on his door, and he said, well, you need more faith. You need to do this. You need to do that. And I said, well, I believe I'm lost. And so, on September the 3rd, on a Friday night, in a hotel room in Spruce Pine, North Carolina, I junked my religion right there. I junked it. I put it on the junk pile that it ought to be on. And you know, religion has sent more people to hell than any bar or honky-tonk that you can, all of them put together. And people are dying and going to hell from the pews of a church somewhere thinking they're all right. It's not in knowledge. You don't grow in salvation. You don't accumulate knowledge to obtain it. It just happens the moment you trust Christ as your Savior. And you know something? The fascinating thing, you can be saved right now, right today, sitting in that pew while I'm up here talking. If you just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. Trust that He died for your sins right now. Believe that with all of your heart. God will save you right now where you're sitting, and nobody will know it till you tell them. Isn't that something? Now, you talk, that's the Lord. You know why they want you to walk the aisle? So they can count you. So they put you in the bulletin. We had so many decisions. I'd made 5 decisions. And I've been baptized 5 times. I've been in every part of the water you can get in. I've been in the pond, the creek, the river, the baptistry, still water, running water, warm water, cold water. I've been in it. And I went down lost, come up wet lost. Went in a mail, come out a mail. But that Friday night, I was baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. I entered a male, and now I'm neither male nor female. I'm one with the Lord. Amen. That's what it's about. I mean, folks, it's not about religion. It's not about numbers. It's not about how pretty you are, how ugly you are. I mean, if looks had anything to do with it, we'd all be in bad shape. You know? I mean, think about it. God's will is you to be saved. And He did everything that needed to be done. He did it for you. And all you have to do is believe it. I want you to look in 2 Corinthians, and I want you to think with me just for a few moments. I used to say minutes. The brother Steve started saying what he did about minutes, so I just say moments. Now, my sermon sometimes like boxcar trains. I just hook up and go, and they're hard to get stopped, and then I unhook a couple and pull a few more cars in and take a few more cars out. Sometimes my sermons is like rabbit hunting. Every what jumps up, that's what I go after, and I chase it. I chase it till I run it or catch it, then I jump on nothing. So I don't know which way we're exactly going here, you know. But I got a few thoughts on my mind that's been on my mind, and I want to talk to you about it. And I want you to think about light. I want you to think about light and knowledge. Light being knowledge. You know, we talk about shed a little light on this subject. You give your knowledge about that subject. Shed a little light. Light being knowledge. And I'll notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He said, verse 3, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Why was their minds blinded? Because they believed not. Now look, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Now I believe, just like Freddie, his testimony was, he knew the gospel. You know that Christ died for your sins. You can have that knowledge. And you can see that Christ died for you. But the problem is not seeing it so much as what you're going to do with it when you see it. Have you believed it? Have you believed it for yourself? When I got down that Friday night and I didn't know how to be saved. I was raised a Baptist, son of a Baptist deacon. I was being groomed by my parents to be a Baptist pastor. I mean, that's what my mama put in my, she thought I ought to preach. And I'll never forget that false profession. And when I was 16, I was standing back there, me and a friend of mine, and the preacher at that time, he come back down the aisle and he grabbed my arm and tugged on my arm and said, you need to come. And he said, Brian, are you saved? And I said, no, sir. And my very words was, if I die right now, I'd go to hell. I remember it like yesterday. And he kept pulling. You know something? I cocked my eye up one, looked around, and I seen Mama. Now every eye closed, every head bowed. You know how it goes, but there's always somebody peeping around. And I saw my mama. She had one eye closed and scrunched up and nothing, peeping at me. And I thought, well, what is Mama going to say when I got home? So down the aisle I come, boy, I did, and I hit the altar. And I slid in there, and boy, they gathered around me. I was the catch of the day. I was pretty rough. One deacon on one side saying, you know, Brian, just pray through. Hang on. And turn loose. I was there just praying, oh God, save this boy. I was just there. And I got up. They got through praying. It's always funny about when people pray and they're all praying out and everybody's just praying. When the lead man quits, all the others quit too. It's like turning the faucet off. I got up and I said, I feel good. Are you saved? Oh yeah. And I did feel good. I did what they wanted me to do. I got the conviction off of me that they put on me. And so I went out. And I began to be groomed and all that. And I got miserable. Miserable inside. I knew that Christ went to the cross. I knew that He died on that cross. I knew He shed His blood for me. But I always thought it was for the world. And it was never a personal thing. And one day I realized, I'm not saved. Now I ask you something. The light was in my, I had the knowledge. But until I accepted and trusted that, I didn't have eternal life. When did you ever trust Christ as your Savior? When did you come to a point in your life, I'm lost, I'm a sinner, and in that frame of mind, rely upon the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? I'm turning it over to you. I think about the Apostle Paul, and you know, testimonies is very powerful. By there where Paul went, he gave his testimony. He got before the kings, and then he said, wait a minute, let me tell you what happened to me. And he told his testimony. And you know, when he was before Agrippa and them, and I believe it was Felix over there, and he was giving his testimony. And they said, well, will you go up to Jerusalem and be heard? And he said, I appeal unto Caesar. You appeal unto Caesar thou shalt go. You know what that word appeal? It's called. It's translated. Other place. You know what the call upon the name of the Lord is? You turn your case over to Him. It's not so much that you get down somewhere and you say the words, and I did because I didn't know, but you don't have to. Listen to me. You hear, you're lost, you realize you're lost, then turn it over to Jesus Christ. If God Almighty don't save you, then you ain't got no hope anyway. Like I told the atheist, he said, I don't even believe in God. Well, that don't make him go away. Whether you believe in him or not. Now, we was talking to that old guy. He's talking about he didn't believe in it. I said, well, I said, you're trusting in your unbelief that there is no God. Now, I said, now, if you're right, I don't have anything to worry about. And if I'm right, which I know that I am, I still don't have nothing to worry about. Because I've trusted Him, I'm going to heaven. You hope I'm wrong. But if I'm right and you're wrong, buddy, you're in a world of trouble. Everybody trusts in something. You ask people, say, are you saved? I hope I am. Well, what you hope in? What do you hope? What are you putting your trust in? If it's in your good works, it's not going to happen. People's mind get blinded in the fact that they're relying upon some other source of salvation other than the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross. They're dependent upon them walking the aisle, being baptized. They're dependent upon their church membership. They're dependent upon something. But I want to tell you, there's only one way that you'll ever get to heaven, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did for you on the cross. Thank God for it. Now I want you to think about light. And I want you to look at some things. Back in the passage there in 2 Corinthians. And then I want you to notice something. I really want to go to John in just a moment and look at something. Just three things. And Steve told me just a little after 12, so I'm going to really get on with it here. He said, what have you been doing? I've just been fooling around. All right, I want you to notice something. Light. Knowledge. Shed a little light. Let's look at some things about the light. Number one, I want you to notice our message in the passage. We have a message of light. Look what he says there in verse 4. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Folks, we have a message of light. And that message is that Christ went to the cross and He died on that cross. Now Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And Jesus said, as long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And John came from God to bear witness. He was not that light, but he came to bear witness of that light, which was the true light. Now I will tell you, Jesus Christ is the light. In Malachi, you'll find in Malachi chapter 4, He's called the Son of Righteousness. S-U-N. And just as the moon reflects the sun's light, and the stars and all of that are the light, folks, you'll find that Jesus Christ is the true light. Now He dwells in a light that no man can approach unto, no man has seen. I read that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Now I want you to understand about the light, and I want you to notice something about this light, and look at Israel, and we'll compare some things about it. Turn with me to Isaiah, before I get ahead of myself, and look in Isaiah 59, or 60. I think it's 60. Let me get there. Isaiah 60, verse 1. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee and give, and His glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Now folks, I want you to understand that there was time, God's program, that Gentiles would come to God through the nation Israel. And there was prophesied, and if you wanted to get to God, you'd have to submit to the ordinances of the Judaism laws and be a part of there as a proselyte and so forth. But
Jesus Christ come. And so in Matthew, you find them preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Matthew through John.
And He's the light. He's the light of the world.
But they reject the Lord Jesus Christ. They said, we'll not have this man to reign over us.
And so
they fall. Through the fall of Israel, salvation is sent unto the Gentiles. And so there's something that takes place here, and God Almighty's Son appears unto the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 9,
brighter than the noonday sun.
And I think about that. I think about Paul being called up to the third heaven.
I think about in Acts chapter 20, he's preaching. And he's up there in the third loft. You know that? And you know what the Bible says there in the book of Acts about Paul up there preaching? And he's preaching, and after he's, you remember the story? He preaches a long time. And he's there preaching, and there's a guy sitting in the window, a young man, and he falls out of the window, falls asleep, and falls down there, and Paul goes down there and raises him back up. You know what I get to thinking about that? You know what the Bible says about that? Where Paul was at, the Bible says there are many lights there. And folks, I want to tell you something. The light back here was put out as far as Israel is concerned. There is no light coming out of Israel today. That Israel over there is not the Israel of God. And Paul mentions the Israel of God in Galatians chapter 6. And he talks about it, and that Israel of God that Paul mentions about is that new nation that's founded in here. And in that new nation, he said that they would get the kingdom. And the kingdom shall be taken from you and given to a nation and bringing forth the fruits thereof. And that new nation started out with the 12 men, and they're called the little flock. And folks, they had the light at that time. And if you wanted to get to the light, you'd come to them. And the Gentiles like you and me, brother, we didn't have no hope now. You understand? We didn't have no hope unless you went to the Gentiles, Jews, and to Peter now, and submitted to them.
Light, but they refused it. Israel said,
no, sir.
We'll not do that. In Acts chapter 7, they stoned
Stephen and laid their feet down at a young man's, their clothes down at a young man's feet named Saul. And so Saul was there, heard Stephen preach, heard that, seen all of that, and brother, they blasphemed the Holy Spirit, and so where's the light at? No light coming out of this.
You know something? God Almighty's Son, brighter than the noonday, he appeared to Saul, which changed the name to Paul, and there started the body of Christ. The church, we call. Now, you know what the Bible says about this church?
It's to be the pillar and the ground of truth. I want to tell you something today. Religion don't have the pillar and the ground of truth. Any church that denies that their apostle is the Apostle Paul and denies the doctrine found in Romans through Philemon, they might have some truth, but it's not nothing to stand on. It's not a pillar and ground of truth. You understand?
Where's the light at today? Right there.
It's in the body of Christ. Look what it says in Philippians again. In Philippians chapter 2. Notice what he says in verse, let's see. Let me get there again. Sorry about that. Look what he says in chapter 2. Verse 15, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Brother, I want to tell you, our message is a message of light. And we come back and we show that Jesus Christ was the one. He's not that we don't look at Him as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, although He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
We look at Him as the head of the body, the church in here. We look at Him as the man of Christ Jesus who gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. A man went to that cross and a man bore your sins on that cross. A man took your place on that cross and a man became what you are on that cross, the Son of God. Man, I want to tell you something. You reject that, and I've said it millions of times, I guess. Yeah, people don't hear it, but let me tell you something. You try to get saved some other way than other than what the Jesus Christ did for you. You think God Almighty will tolerate you, and what can you offer to God that would be better than His Son dying on the cross for you? What could you present to God that would top that? Your religion? Why, God will stick you and your religion in the bottom of hell. And laugh at you while you're frying down there. You say, well, I don't want to serve a God like that. You don't have a choice. He's the only one available. Amen. So, well, I'll go to Allah. Allah, Allah. Only one God, one Lord, one Creator, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is God. He come up out of that thing. Boy, He died in faith. And I think about that. I think about His faith. You know where His light is? It's in His faith. We point back to that and say, here's the light of the world today. We have a message of light. We're to shine forth as lights out there, bearing the message of light. Listen, there's people that's in darkness today, and they're going to hell. Some of your own relatives is going to end up burning in the lake of fire for time and eternity because you won't give them the light. What's wrong? People say, well, I just can't talk. Most people talk about, well, I just can't say nothing. Well, give them a tape. Give them something. Well, and most of the time, people that says, well, I can't talk, you can get around them and they'll talk the horns off a billy goat about everything else but the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Can't talk. You don't have no problem talking about NASCAR. You don't have no problem talking about your teams. Don't have no problem talking about the weather. Why do people have a problem talking about the Lord Jesus Christ? I'll tell you why. Your flesh. And what do you think people might think about you? You know, this book's a powerful book. You know, you walk down the streets of Chattanooga, and you got a Sears and Roebuck catalog in your arm. You don't think nothing about it, man. Just walk right down. Stick an old black 1611 King James Bible with a Holy Bible on front of it and go down the street. See what you... I know. Turn it this away and hope they think it's a pocketbook or something. I know how it works. Something about that book, something about Jesus Christ, something about the gospel that people, they get ashamed of it. Folks, that's the only light this world has. That's the only light that Chattanooga has. That's the only light that Nashville has. That's the only light that Texas has. It's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did. And if we don't get it out, brother, religion's not going to get it out. Why, the devil, he blinds people's minds through religion. Well, we also have armor of light. You ever think about that? Now look with me again and notice in Romans chapter 13. It's 12 o'clock. Is that the alarm? Is that the microwave going off? Is that the dinner bell? Light, knowledge, share it with people. But our message is a message of light, and it goes back to the cross. You know something I heard Brother Moore, he told me one time, and years ago, when I, after a couple, we was up there at the house, sitting around the table. And he said, "You want to be a great preacher?" I said, "Sure do, Brother Moore." He said, "Well, preach a great message." And he said, "The only great message available is the cross." I never have forgot that. Preachers, you ought to be a great preacher. Preach the cross. If you preach the great message, you'll be a great preacher. And I found out there are two kinds of preachers. Two kinds of speakers. There are professional speakers, and there are preachers from the heart. And I want to be one that preaches from my heart. I want to be one that I believe what I say. Not just to sound good, because I don't. I realize that. Not just to be funny, and I can't help that sometimes. And I'm getting worse since I met Brother Dick Ballard. I'm just thinking, he's something else.
Why?
But look with me. Armor. The Bible says there in verse 12, the night is far spent. Romans 13:12. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Then it's the armor of light. Notice down in verse 14, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Well, the armor of light. Then he says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. I read in Ephesians chapter 6 over there that he said, be strong in the power of his might. He said to put on the whole armor of God. And he lists there the armor of God. And it has to do with the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, and the shield of faith. And all of those things is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's his righteousness that I put on. I don't have no righteousness but filthy rags, and I wouldn't want to wear them. My faith, the devil can shoot bullet holes through it, just like it's no shield to me. But I'll tell you, his shield can't be penetrated. His faith, he died in faith, believing that his Father would give him eternal life and raise him from the dead. You see, folks, when he died, He was made sin for you, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I'm so glad he went to that cross for me. And my armor today is his armor. My salvation, it's a knowledge of salvation, a no-so salvation, but it's his salvation. It's not my salvation. I didn't do nothing to get it, and I can't do nothing to lose it. Bless your heart. I'm saved for time and eternity. I've been saved since 1971, and you see me tomorrow, I'll be saved then. So you reckon you will? Yeah, no doubt about it. So, well, what about that? Don't matter what I do, don't change what happened back here. What I say don't change nothing back here. Light. We're to have the armor of light. Our message is a message of light. Look with me to one other thing. Turn back to Isaiah 59. Notice in Isaiah 59, I should have told you to hang on around there, but Isaiah 59, verse 14. And judgment is turned away backward. And justice standeth afar off, for truth is fallen in the street. Now, isn't that something? You could say the same thing about today. There's no truth being preached today. There's every good lie has an element of truth in it, or it wouldn't be a good lie. Now, we don't call lie. We don't say they're lying. We say, nowadays, we say, well, we're stretching the truth a little bit.
Or are we exaggerating a little bit? I thought about that story while one of the preachers talking about if he started a rumor there. It might have been Robbie or something that started a rumor and go all the way around. I thought about my mama. My mama was the best thing you ever. She was a good woman. I mean, you know, she loved the Lord and all this, but she had a problem about exaggerating. Now, my mama saw somebody have an accident and get skunked a little bit or a little blood. When she told it, the blood'd be gushing out of their leg. And I thought about that. If you started a little something like that, and if my mama was here, time it got up here, if it was just a little nick on the finger, they'd have their finger cut off. About like that preacher one time years ago, we went to a place, and this preacher got in a big way of preaching. And he's just up here going like a house of fire, you know. And I mean, he's preaching about how they beat the Lord Jesus Christ and they took rods and beat him in the head and he's just going and they pulled his beard out and they jerked his robe off and he got in such a big way and they whipped out a sword and cut his head off. On that, they're still hollering, amen, carried on. People don't care what you say, it's how you say it in my part of the world. Like the old man sent his boy off seminary to learn to preach. And so he's out there and he's out there milking his cow and his boy come back from seminary and he said, well, I'm ready to preach. And he said, well, let's hear you. I've spent all that money, I want to hear you. And he gets up there on a stump and he said, well, what do you want me to say? Say anything. I just want to hear you preach. His daddy's there milking a cow and he says, well, folks, my dad's milking a cow. He said, boy, I ain't preaching. Then he kept on. He said, well, maybe. Then he got a little out. My daddy's a milking a cow. That ain't preaching. I want to hear you preach. Say it. Preaching. My daddy, he's milking a cow. He jumped up and said, boy, I got my money's worth now. That's what people want. They want that. They want some excitement. They want to be entertained. But I tell you, we have the message of hope. Now look at this in Isaiah. Truth is falling in the streets. There's no truth hardly today. You hear people mention about Jesus Christ dying and then the same breath they talk about turning from your sins and doing this before God ever saved you. That's not grace. You don't have to give up. God won't save you because you give up something. God saves you because you trust in His Son. Look what he says. He comes on down, verse 15. Yea, truth faileth. And he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And boy, we do today. You believe the truth. You're like Paul says. You're like an evildoer today. Then he goes on. He said, and the Lord saw it. And it displeased him that there was no judgment. And he saw that there was no man. And wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness it sustained him. For he put on the righteousness of as a breastplate, and a helmet of salvation upon his head, and he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and he clad with the zeal as a cloak. You ask the Lord, saw no man. You know what's keeping the wrath of God off of this world? It's the body of Christ, the man, the new creation. And that's the Lord standing in the gap in us, folks. You are light bearers. You are the one that God give the message of hope and the message of light to this lost and dark, dying world. And it's up to you. And it's up to me. And there are people today that would not give me the time of day
They'd hear me to preach and they'd say, man, I ain't listening to that slobber mouth and that old country hick. I'm not listening to him. But they would listen to Steve. Or they'd listen to Jerry. And then there's people that wouldn't listen to Steve and that would listen to Jerry. And there's people that would listen to Mark that wouldn't listen to none of us. What am I saying? God has put the members in the body as it pleased Him where they'll do the most good. The problem is we don't want to preach it and teach it and stand in the gap. So you're getting excited. I do. We ought to. We have the armor of light and it's His righteousness. Well, what about our time? Well, look with me, and I'm going to close in 2 Corinthians. Notice in chapter 6, what about our time? You see, there's a time coming when this is going to end. And then the wrath of God's going to be over here. And the second coming of Christ, and He's going to set up His throne over here. And you know something? Over here, they got to endure to the end because there's going to be a man of sin there. And I believe that this be the ministry, if you race this and slid it over, it fit right together. I got Romans through Philemon in here. And you know something? Hebrews through Revelation over here. Tribulation books. What about our day? Do I take the gospel back here, the kingdom back here? Do I take it over here? Can I bring light to people? No. Look what he said in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Today, he said, we then as workers together with him, verse 1, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Folks, today is the day. This is our time right now. Darkness is coming back over here. You ever think about the day of the Lord? Says it's a day of darkness. There's a time when the light's going to go out for you. And if you're sitting here and you're lost, you don't have the promise of another day. Now is the time to trust Christ. Right now. Do it now. So I don't know how. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He took your place. He died for all your sins. All of them, you past, present, and future sins. God is not holding you accountable for your sins. Your sins is not what's going to send you to hell. It's your unbelief. Will you believe on Him before the light goes out? Don't end up in darkness. I can't imagine being without the Lord. He's personal to me. And I love Him today because of what He did for me. He saved me when I didn't deserve to be saved. You talk about blaspheming. How many times did I say the devil's eat me up over my salvation? It's the Holy Spirit. I credit the work of the Holy Spirit to the devil. Did that keep me? No. He's still saved. Why? Well, you see, when He died on that cross, O'Brien was with Him. God saw me in there as a blasphemer. God saw me there as what? Despicable the person that I am. I mean, sorry, no cap, good for nothing.
but He forgave me.
Thank God for the cross, Brother Steve.